Hello, welcome back to the Shaping Little Minds podcast. I am so excited to have you here. Do you know what I realized? It has been almost 10 years since I started my teaching career. On Instagram this week, I actually shared a bit of my story when I was a full-time teacher. And if you're not following me on Instagram, come join me over there. It's at Coach for Teachers. And I talked about this never-ending cycle that I was in, this burnout cycle. And how I so desperately wanted to get out of it, but didn't have the resources or the tools to be able to do so. And it honestly took me way longer than I would ever like to admit to find the right balance between work as a teacher and life outside of my classroom. If you're in that boat right now, just know that this does not have to be your story. It really is never too late to ask for support. And speaking of support, I have three spots inside of one-on-one coaching available right now. These spots are limited due to various other projects happening behind the scenes as of right this minute. So this is my signature program for new and struggling teachers who are looking to go from feeling burnt out, overwhelmed, and thinking about leaving the classroom to setting boundaries with confidence, minimal stress and overwhelm, and creating a work-life balance that works for you. Here's everything you need to know about the program. The program currently runs for 12 weeks or 3 months. Teachers have a learning portal that they can dive into at their own pace and have access for a lifetime, meaning even after our 3 months of working together, you will still have access to that portal. And anytime the portal gets any updates, you will have access to that as well. We also have four scheduled one-on-one calls each month that are led by you and what you need in that moment. Recaps and recordings of each coaching call are available within 24 to 48 hours of the call, usually sooner, unless I have a lot of things going on that week. You can also get classroom work reviewed by me. So if you are implementing rules and routines into your classroom or procedures into your classroom, or you want someone to look over your lesson plans or your slides, that can be something that we can do together, or I can do that if you send it my way. You also get 24/6 Voxer access. Voxer is a free messaging app that we use during our time together. So you get access to me Sunday through Friday on Voxer, and it's a place for you to get further support in between each of our calls. The cost is $1,500 or $1,500 with three payment options. You can pay in full if you're able. You can pay $500 over the course of 3 months or $250 over the course of 6 months. If you want to hear from a client of mine, a past client of mine, we recorded a podcast episode back in the day. It's podcast episode number 76, and I'll link the episode to the description below. This level of support does require an application. I do not take every person who applies, especially if they aren't a good fit for the program. So you're going to want to submit an application so that I can see whether or not you're a good fit. And if you are a good fit, I will reach out to you directly, either by email or on Instagram. If you are 100% sure of the program and I know that you're a good fit, I will send you a contract and payment link to get you started right away. Our first call will be 90 minutes, with the first 30 minutes focused on answering any questions and giving you an overview of what you can expect. Should you need more time to ask questions and really think about it, we can schedule a totally free 30-minute call for us to chat with absolutely no pressure at all, either way. As a reminder, I only have three spots available right now, so if you are interested, you can go ahead and fill out the application with the link in the description below, and I cannot wait to support you. If you're anything like me, you love yourself a good old cup of coffee in the morning with potentially a second or third in the afternoon when that exhaustion hits. The reality is, coffee can only do so much, and if we're being totally honest, it doesn't always do the trick. Instead of reaching for that second, third, or fourth cup to keep my energy levels up, I actually started using something called Magic Mind, and I am good to go for the rest of the day. I'm more productive and more focused, all due to one main ingredient inside of the Magic Mind shot. It's called Rhodiola rosea, and I really hope I am pronouncing that right. A nootropic and adaptogen that reduces fatigue and anxiety, increases your body's resistance to stress, improves physical and mental endurance, and enhances mental clarity. I actually shared this with a friend of mine who now wants to try it too. The Magic Mind team created a super special offer for me to share with you. You can get 20% off your one-time purchase with the code LittleMinds20. Go to www.magicmind.com/littleminds and redeem the discount with the code LittleMinds20. Something so many teachers, new and veteran alike, struggle with is behaviors in the classroom. It can feel absolutely impossible to navigate behaviors among all the other things that are actually happening inside of the classroom. I did a maternity leave coverage last year, and this class was probably the toughest class I have ever had to deal with. I had been in the classroom on and off for 9 years, and I, as a veteran teacher, was struggling. So today's podcast episode is three ways that I learned how to navigate difficult behaviors without feeling negatively charged after a hard day of work. First and foremost is the hardest concept. That is staying calm in the midst of chaos. Now, I'm sure you've heard this one a dozen times, and you're probably thinking, how is this going to help me navigate behaviors in my classroom? But before I get into that, I want to just say that this, again, is the hardest part of being a classroom teacher. So when you stay calm, even in the midst of chaos, this is what happens. You respond rather than react. You model to your students how to navigate their own emotions without a complete meltdown, and you slowly take back control. That doesn't completely eliminate the behavior, but it does counteract it. I want to remind you that your students are human beings and therefore will never be perfect. Just like you, the teacher, will never be perfect and sometimes react to a behavior in a way that you're not necessarily proud of, so too will your students. Not only that, when you're calm, you're actually able to navigate the classroom in a more cohesive way rather than just reacting to everything you see around you. So let's get back to the question. When you're in chaos mode, what tends to happen is you react and you end up bringing in more chaos rather than settling things down. So that could look like yelling at a child or having them sit out without actually speaking to them, sending them directly to a supervisor without any other interaction, etc. You get my point. These are all what I call reactions. Now, don't get me wrong. There need to be consequences for a child who is showing those negative behaviors. But what does that reaction from you teach your students? What does yelling at them teach them in the long run? I have definitely been this teacher, especially in my first years of teaching, and here's what I learned. Behavior is communication. It is a form of communication. So when a behavior presents itself, before you react in any way, I want you to ask yourself, what does this child need right now? How can I help him or her get there? And what is this child trying to tell me? And that brings me to my next point, which is this idea of the importance of enforcing consequences. There is a difference between reacting and responding when it comes to consequences. Rather than reacting negatively to a child's behavior, I want you to plan. Here's what I mean when I say plan. I want you to take a sheet of paper and put a line down the middle. On one side, write down behaviors. On the other side, write down consequences. I want you to list out all of the behaviors you're seeing or you expect to see, depending on when you're listening to this episode. Once you're done with that list, I want you to move to the other side and write down the consequences for those negative behaviors or for the actions. When that's all said and done, I want you to take another paper and write down how you, as the teacher, will respond to each of those said behaviors. So, Questions to think about when you're doing this part is how will you stay calm when those behaviors rise to the surface? What will you say? What will you do to keep the rest of the class calm and doing as they should? How are you going to address this consequence with the child, him or herself? So to do this exercise, you're going to want to pause this, listen again, and have a pen and paper next to you. If you're listening to this in the car, make sure to re-listen and do this exercise. I promise it will help you feel so much better about behavior management inside your classroom because now you have a plan. And without these said consequences, behaviors will keep rising and you will keep reacting rather than responding, which always evokes more chaos. Here's the thing. By giving you this exercise, I want you to feel confident in the way you're handling behaviors that you're seeing. I want you to feel totally prepared for anything that may come up. And that brings me to my last point. Never hold on to negativity. This is a challenge for so many of us, especially if we've seen the same child acting out for weeks. It can be so frustrating, overwhelming, and especially hard to move past those tough moments. The thing is, when you hold on to these moments, you start to label the child as difficult or hard to handle or impossible. I want to remind you that those labels stick with the child forever. Those labels become that child's reality when at the end of the day, they just need someone who will respond and help them rather than react. So I want you to think about this. How do you want to make a child feel in your classroom? How will you make sure you're not holding on to that negativity? And how will you help the child moving forward without giving them that label? When you let go of the negativity, you give the child a space to be as he or she is. You give yourself the ability to do things differently so that the child feels safe inside of your classroom. You create a space that is inviting and welcoming to all children, no matter what happened the day before or the year before. This may not have been what you were looking for, but I truly believe that these are the first steps to navigating those challenging behaviors you're seeing every day inside of your classroom. If you haven't done the exercise that I previously talked about, I want you to pause this and do it. It's something that I've done with many of my one-on-one clients to help them feel more confident in the way they are running their classrooms. As always, thank you so much for listening to this week's podcast episode. If you could share this episode with your teacher friends, leave a review, or just share the episode on Instagram and tag me. I am at Coach for Teachers. I would love to connect with you. Keep learning, growing, and becoming your best teacher self. I am so proud of you. See you next time, teachers.